11th to order. If you would all silence your phones, please, that would be helpful and save some embarrassment in the middle of a meeting. Before we get started, I'm going to ask, there's a young man in our community who is who's hurt right now, and he's had a minor injury, major injury, and I'm just going to ask for a moment of silence for John Michael Knight. John Michael is also in need of any contributions to his medical care, and that can be at caringbridge.org. You can find his name, and Knight is spelled just like the evening, N-I-G-H-T. So if you all want to look into it, I'm just asking for a moment of silence before we begin our prayers. We stand, and then I will turn over for our invocation to Reverend Carter, Reverend Custer, I'm sorry, from St. Andrew's United Methodist Church. So if you join me, please, and then we'll go to the pledge. Just a quick moment of silence. Reverend Custer, thank you, sir.
Let us pray. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We are overwhelmed this afternoon with the beauty of your creation and the awesomeness of the privilege you have given to us to live in Winter Park, Florida. Your blessings to us are beyond measure, and we thank you for them all this afternoon. Thank you for your presence in this City Commission meeting. As we hear reports, consider various actions, we ask that you give our mayor, Steve Leary, and our commissioners, Carolyn Cooper, Sarah Sprinkle, Gregory Seidel, and Tom McMacken, and others as they lead us, an extra portion of your wisdom, insight, and care as they lead us this afternoon. May they lead us to make right decisions for the good of our city, our businesses, and our residents. We ask all of these things in the strong and mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Reverend Custer. And thank you also for servicing our community, as well as, you know, you provide a polling place every year for every one of our elections. So thank you, sir. Randy, the approval of the agenda, do we have, I know we have an item on there that we need to read sometime after 5 o'clock, and that's not noted. That's item 11A.
Oh, okay.
I think that's the only change, unless you have others.
No, sir, I have no others.
Any others from the commission? Okay, with that, we'll seek a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. The mayor's report is extremely brief. I hope you all had a great holiday. The city looks spectacular. What a great day. Actually, this is the first day, I think, in months that I actually had the opportunity to take a walk up and down the streets and just enjoy the day at lunch. I ran into a family from Brazil who came by City Hall to check out our city and really kind of see what was going on. It's people are out walking around just enjoying the city. Thank you all for what you do for us. It's a beautiful, beautiful city. It's a great day to enjoy it on, so thank you. Randy, City Manager's Report.
A couple of items, Mr. Mayor. I just want to give you a heads up that on January 23rd, that weekend, the DOT's contractor is going to be working with city to smooth out that railroad track intersection.
Which one?
Just the one at Lyman and New York.
Okay.
Now, this is the bad news is that it's going to be on the weekend, so Saturday Farmers Market, it's going to be a zoo to get through. But we're giving notification to people, you know, that come this week, and you know, so.
Are we going to have a police presence out there helping to make sure nobody gets?
They will have a MOT set up to help people, you know, make their way around. So.
Randy said we can't have the police presence out there.
I'm not saying we won't. I just haven't talked to the chief about that. I will
If I can have three nods, we'll just make that a request of you to the chief, if you would, Randy. I think that makes sense. It's tough enough on weekends that people are not familiar with the intersection.
Right.
Coming through that intersection, so that would be great. Thank you for the heads up on that. Anything else?
Wanted to see if the commission would be interested in having a work session to discuss the garbage RFP before it goes back out. There's been several policy-type decisions that have been raised by the various vendors that are interested in performing those services. If you are, either Monday, February 1st, or before the commission meeting on February 8th, either of those would be, you know, would work well for our consultant. And if those don't work, we'll work with the consultant to get a different date. So, February 8th at 2 o'clock, that would be before the regular commission meeting that week, or February 1st, which would be the middle week between two commission meetings, at 4 o'clock.
Do you guys have a preference on it? First of all, do we think we need one? I certainly would support that.
I would prefer the 8th before a regular meeting.
Are you guys okay with the 8th? It works for me. Commissioner Sidnow?
Yeah, that's pretty safe usually.
All right, so we will set that up.
Since I got here at 3 thinking we had a CRA meeting.
That's right.
Sorry about that. And then I just wanted to mention that the bowling alley is back on the market. I know about a year and a half ago we looked at that, and the commission decided not to acquire it at that time, but I just wanted to mention to see if there's three commissioners who would be interested in us going and trying to negotiate a contract. I've had a verbal offer from Rollins saying that the purchase price that they pay for it, which is $2,850,000. Remember last time, I think it was like $3,200,000 we were looking at it when we were considering it. But they said they would sell it to us for what they paid for it if we're interested in pursuing it.
I'd be interested in pursuing the at least the discussion.
Sure. I would as well.
Yeah, I'd like to understand. I hope it's not asphalt parking lot. If we're talking about park space, I would love to talk about it. Park space and hopefully a turnaround.
But I think that's all up to if we want to purchase it, what we can do with it.
Right.
Sure.
And, you know, also, Randy, kind of just the bigger picture of, you know, Rollins in general, is there other areas, like try not to look at it in isolation is kind of what I'm saying, or that there are other things that where Rollins could be needing some areas, you know, with our parks. And
are you talking about a land swap, Commissioner?
Not necessarily a land swap, but I guess, I mean, I'd like to meet with Jeff and just try to, to me, it kind of came up quick that all of a sudden it was back on the market. And so it was going to become part of the park space. And, you know, they do share the park over there with us and we do things together with them. Are there other activities, or is it simply that they need to go ahead and do something with the property now? And so I'd like to have some more discussion with Jeff, if I could.
It's just
to understand where the, you know, is it immediate, it needs to be done now, so we need to react quickly, or is it something where we can work some things out over time?
Is it possible that we can invite Jeff to come to our workshop and us all just sit down together and talk about it?
So we can start.
What Jeff are we talking about?
Jeff Eisenberg.
Okay.
Hang on, listen to you guys. There is no workshop to talk about. Right.
We're talking about our garbage RFP.
Yeah. We're talking about the same manager entering into contract negotiations with the owner of the property, and he would have to bring it back to us for consideration, and then we can have that discussion at the time.
Yeah, and like with our visioning process that's going on and some of the things Randy's talked about doing on that corridor, there's a lot at play, and so I'd just kind of like to know, is it something that needs to be acted on quickly, or is it something we can have a chance to think through and get the visioning done and, you know, become part of a corridor issue, if you will?
Well, I don't think, while Rollins has been a tremendous partner with the Senator Park in so many ways, I don't think we could ask them to hold off on the sale of the property if we're not going to act quickly. So in real estate, I think they will put it on the market. So you can certainly have a conversation. Jeffrey's right here. You can certainly call him anytime. I would assume he'd take your call. He doesn't take mine anymore, but he might take your call. Right, give Jeffrey a call.
I go to voicemail.
Yeah, but Randy, please, I think you have the odds up here in terms of negotiations to discuss the project.
Sure. Thank you.
Sure. Anything else?
That concludes my report.
One
question, Randy. I saw that email come out about commissioners taking a trip to Tallahassee, and I read that and just kind of shook my head and was questioning whether we were even able to gather for a meeting today. Yes, we didn't properly notice it. Is that?
Well, we do notice it.
Yeah, I would like to have a discussion about that. I have the names of numerous attorneys throughout Florida and some discussion about the Attorney General. I think that it's within our home rule authority, certainly, to decide that we would like to represent our community as a group, especially since we vote in a public hearing to define our initiatives that we're going to talk about. So I know I have a meeting scheduled with Kurt this next week, and I'm sure, I think that's something we want to talk about. I don't want that, that's not a done deal, right? That's open for conversation.
I'll let Kurt address it.
Mayor, Commissioners, certainly can talk about it. Actually, we had a meeting, I'm on the Florida Municipal Attorneys Association Steering Committee, which represents all the city attorneys in the state. We had that on Friday, and I brought that up because clearly there are cities that go to Tallahassee and they have meetings with their legislators and their lobbyists, couple of the other city attorneys said, oh, what do you mean you can't do that? And we had a discussion at that level. But the law is what it is. And just because our folks, cities may do that, does not mean it does not violate the law. The interesting thing is there's actually a statute that spells out when it is appropriate or allowed when governing bodies of cities may meet outside their political boundaries. And it's limited in that statute to two situations. One is in the situation where you have a city that has less than 500 residents, so that governing body of those cities can meet outside of the city in that county, although the statute's a little unclear about whether it could be someplace else other than the county. And the other situation is when two governmental bodies, two cities, or a city and a county governing body need to discuss things that are of common interest or are required by law or settlement dispute resolutions. And the idea was that those meetings should occur or must occur within the county at issue. There is no exception or exemption for meetings outside of a city commission or city council, outside of the political boundaries other than those two. So I know it's been a practice. I understand that. It's been done. It is done. There's some opinions that, you can dance with that. Yes. However, it's a risky situation, and my advice is not to do it. But I'm happy to talk about
it. Yes, I think we absolutely must talk about it.
Yeah, there are several different, you talk about the jurisdiction of the city, then you have bringing the public records, and the sunshine laws, and then so they're dispute resolution. So there are times when you do meet outside your city.
So I understand it's an abundance of caution. I do appreciate the caution on your part, but I think as the legislative body, we have the right to make that decision. And to me, it's critical that we are representing the city of Ventura Park as one voice in front of our legislators. Yeah, yeah, I just think that's critical. Right. So I would love to have extensive conversation.
Glad to.
Well, I would say that we are represented as a unified body when we meet with our legislators. Just because we're all not there doesn't mean that we're not. Last year, I went up with, I believe yourself and I went up with Commissioner Sprinkle and Michelle Duvalier. Was that last year? They're all blending into one.
That was last year.
Right, but my point was, even though Mayor Bradley wasn't with us, nor was Commissioner McMackin with us at the time, we were certainly representing this board. So I don't have that concern. I will say that...
So is this something that you actually feel is a good thing for Ventura Park?
I think following the advice of our city attorney when it comes to possible sunshine violations or perception thereof, I'm supporting that.
Regardless of the prior tradition or the prior attorney's advice that we've had for a considerable period of time?
I think we have a new city attorney who's offered his, who's opined his on this one.
And we should absolutely respect and consider that as we make our decision.
Well, I certainly will, and I'll respect that amongst more highly than most voices on the matters, since he'll be the one defending us in court in case something comes up on it.
Right.
So I'm not sure how you all would like to continue this. Commissioner McMackin, do you want to meet individually? I heard you said you have some...
No, I really was just... it was more a case of astoundment on my part that we had been doing this and that previously we hadn't been called on the carpet for going up there as a group and doing that. And if that's I mean, if that's the law, that's the law, and I'm kind of on the page of, well, maybe we not been doing it right for a few years. So
there are cities that actually
many
still
do.
I mean, it's not a you know, there's just because it's a practice that doesn't mean that the
it's a risk assessment on our part.
Well, is it something the legislator can put into their caveat number three? You can get together to
advocate for new legislative initiatives because they're not quasi-judicial.
But the problem really comes down to the Sunshine Law, because you would think you can should be able to meet outside your political boundaries if you're attempting to achieve a unified voice to your legislators. But the one of the problems is because the Sunshine Law says that the public has to have the ability reasonably to attend those, unless you're going to provide a bus and let the public attend each one of those meetings. You now have got a Sunshine Law issue in addition to the jurisdictional issue. So it's not just a single thing, but clearly it's something I think, and I think most of the city attorneys, including our steering committee for the city attorneys throughout the state, think the legislature should address it, because it has been done by a number of cities.
And do we have a lot of complaints and a lot of attorney general's opinions regarding other responsibilities?
I sent to Randy, and I think Randy sent to the commission. I don't know if you sent both emails that I sent Randy, but I'll be happy to re-forward those to you.
I sent the email, and it had the link to the attorney general's opinion in there.
Okay, did it also cite the statutory provision, etc.? Okay.
Yes.
So I think there's probably two, and there's some additional matters I did not include, but I'm happy to flesh that out a little more if you'd like.
Please.
Okay.
I would just say that, having heard this from you, I would think it would be very wise for us to pay attention to that counsel. That's what we pay him for. And the Attorney General's opinion may not be, I'm not sure how recent it is, but it certainly, maybe when we first started this practice, it wasn't there, and now it is. And if we ignore that, that's not a very wise thing.
Well, and I would also say that that doesn't stop each additional commission member from petitioning their elected officials in Tallahassee and going up and meeting with them individually if they so choose.
Correct.
So the feeling that you're
going to need one-on-one as well. It's not
absolutely.
Now, I wasn't worried about that so much, but it seems to me from the perspective of the public that it is actually in their best interest that we are together as we speak to our legislators and advocate for things for the city as opposed to individually, because we may not all have the same perception of what the most important thing on our list is, you know, or off of our list. So for me, I feel very strongly that, and I see other cities up there as groups, and if they're coming as seven municipal officials saying, we'd like our share of that money for this, and we come up individually and one of us says one thing and one of us says another thing, because we have 12 things on our list, you know, my favorite might not be your favorite, and then what happens is
we prioritize that list.
We do. Well, no, we don't typically, but we should. I agree with you about that, we should. But the issue is, if we are coming up individually, other cities are coming up as a group, I think they present a more unified and a more commanding position. So for me, it's not a done deal. I'd kind of like to dig into this just a little bit.
Well, Randy, what are you looking for from us? Because I would like to get a resolution together or something that kind of at least puts that as a practice. And if it comes before the commission to vote on, the Commissioner Cooper can at least discuss it more or present her opposition to that motion.
We could certainly put this on the agenda next meeting if the commission would like.
I'd like a little more time.
It'd be an action item because we're currently
you're scheduled to go up there.
Yeah, the 26th or 27th or something, I think it was.
Which will be our next meeting. Yeah. I mean, well, I don't think we're going to resolve it before our scheduled trip.
Well, and so we need a witness to travel with us, which we always have.
A witness doesn't count. That doesn't work. You can't have a witness and make that okay. We're really skating people if we go up there, and I can't even imagine us doing that after hearing the Attorney General's opinion.
The Attorney General's opinion was about a quasi-judicial issue, wasn't it? I think it was.
Yeah, I guess to me it's why can't we have Representative Miller talk to them about adding that third caveat that says the cities can come up and force. I mean,
okay, we can certainly do that.
It seems like a state-level issue, not a commission-level issue. We want to go there and talk to them together. And
until then, we have an issue that's before this commission as to whether we care to follow our city attorney's advice or not. And I'd like to make a motion that we follow the city attorney's advice. And Randy, it's not a motionable thing, but if I can get three nods, at least have the city manager bring back something that we can sign off on, whether it's a resolution, whether it's a, you tell me how you would like to address it, so there's some kind of form, there's a practice, there's something in writing that says this is what we adopted as. And a commission in the future can certainly change that if they feel differently.
So if we're going to pass a, are you talking about bringing forward a resolution or passing a resolution?
I'm going to bring forward a resolution at the next commission meeting.
Oh. So you want nods, yes or no?
Yeah, nod yes or no.
I'd like to nod no.
Okay.
You
nod yes here?
Yes, we definitely need to. We have dissension up here about this, and so we need to make some decision.
And to expedite the matter, just ask for the resolution to come. We can have further discussion at the time when that comes. It's not being passed, but it will be, I'd like it brought for us for discussion.
Commissioner McClendon,
you have a nod.
Yeah, I'm happy to discuss it, but I would also like to see the rule get changed.
They won't happen before. It's not going to happen before next meeting, regardless.
Hold on. Excuse me. We have nods to get this brought back before us. Right. We can certainly, Commissioner Seidel, if you would like to speak to the city manager and reaching out to our elected officials and have that discussion, please feel free.
Okay.
You can do that. You have my support too. You can just I'll speak to Mike when I see him. But I think we need to move on from this. This is a fairly minor issue, in my view.
It's a huge issue.
I did have one other minor thing on Randy's with the progress point. And are we going to be talking about that at all today?
It's not on today's agenda.
Okay. And I guess just from an information perspective, you know, I've talked to a few of the business owners. And as part of the development of that property, what I've asked the business owners to do is figure out how much parking spaces that you guys would like to have and how much skin you want to have in the game to get those spaces. And then at some point, at least we know that going into the development, that whether we sell the property for a little less so we have some public parking over there, or that's just part of the deal. But I told them for them to get organized and let us know what they need, as opposed to us trying to figure out what it is that they need.
Who is them?
My dentist.
Engineers.
You know, there's several people on the streets.
Commissioner Seidel, can I ask Jeff Brace to just comment on that, please?
Yes, I also have met with two or three boards.
Yeah, I just want to be aware
of that.
So where we're at is, per your direction to PNC, mm-hmm. to have a neighborhood area meeting to what's the best fit on Progress Point. We did send out notices to all the folks around Orange Avenue, and PNC had a meeting on November 3rd. I think PNZ actually wasn't too happy with what they came up with. It was, to quote the chairman, with consensus from the board the other night, it was somewhat wishy-washy. So they on their initiative, have decided to have a meeting with EDAB, to have a joint meeting on the 19th at the EDAB meeting, which is 8:15 in the morning. And together, the two groups are going to try to come to a combined recommendation for how to move forward on Progress Point. So that would mean, yeah, with that date, that the earliest it could be is the first meeting in February.
What was that date?
January 19th,
8:15.
And are we inviting all of the people that are calling Greg and I? And I don't know.
No, because we had a significant hour-plus public hearing, you know, with all the folks, and we heard what they had to say, and we know what the priorities are. Now, how to get to the finish line is what EDAB and PNZ are going to try to bring you a recommendation on.
Has everyone received something in writing from Jewett? Is that something that came to everyone?
That's another thing that's come up since PNZ, which is why they wanted to revisit it. So probably the first meeting in February.
Okay. Yes, thank you.
Great. Any other questions for the city manager? Commissioner Sprinkle.
So I also got some letters, and I guess my discomfort here is knowing what to do with all the people along that corridor who are calling all of us and telling us different things, because that's not my job, okay? My job is to react to what comes to me. Right. So where do we send these people? When they have questions about this, I feel like we have a lot of efforts going on. Do you get them? Does Randy get them? Yeah. Where does this go?
planning, city manager.
Okay.
And in the meantime, your response is you're waiting for a recommendation from P&Z, and the earliest it's going to be on your agenda is the beginning of February.
Okay, but there's two things going on in my head. One of them is Progress Point, and the other is parking in general in that area. So both of those things are going to be discussed by P&Z, put together, and EDAB at their joint meeting on the 19th. I got it. Thank you.
Yeah, I will say, though, let's be clear, that is a they are not accepting public comment at that meeting, correct?
Because we got plenty of comment. We know the priority of parking. So
I just want to be clear. If we're telling them to go, let's set expectations. I think everyone, if anyone calls, you should tell them to at least attend if they're interested to hear what we discuss.
Okay, got it.
Public input be
but
speaking.
Don't our boards generally accept public input unless there's some reason that they don't? I think public input at our boards is not... Right, it's very typical, so I don't want to deny the residents the opportunity to speak.
Well, that's not your call, though. That's the board's
call. No, it is the tradition of the board to accept public comment.
For sure, that's not necessary.
I don't want to dictate to the board and tell them not to listen to the property owners on Orange Avenue.
No one has dictated that. I just asked if they were accepting public comment, and staff said they were not. That is not anybody up here dictating that they don't. So let's just be clear on that.
But for historically, for decades, our boards accept public comment.
That is not necessarily the case, Commissioner. It's a case-by-case basis. If they're discussing a specific item as a workshop item between two boards, Commissioner McMackin, you're not here.
I recall PNZ at a workshop level, and it's a joint meeting for a workshop.
But isn't during their normal meeting time, EDAB normally meets at that time, don't they?
We're far away. So anyway,
if they decide on their own to accept public comment, that is certainly up to them. But I'm saying it's not something that's being dictated from this board that they do or do not accept public comment. Okay, any other questions for the city manager? No. City attorney, Mr. Arden.
Pastor, thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for the city attorney?
Had mine already.
Good willing.
I'm just used to being here. I turned and asked
the person. I know, it's very difficult. How have you been shifted so far?
Randy's now has the imprimatur of the city attorney, and I guess I'm now Greg.
Financial report, Wes.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. We have for you a preliminary look at how we finished last fiscal year. These are unaudited numbers at this point, but I think they should pretty closely represent where we will be when you get your when the auditors make their presentation of the official report later. I'll start by going looking after our general fund. Our revenues there. We had some positives and some not so positives. In the way of not so positives, as we discussed, the communications services tax has declined, and we've budgeted that pretty conservatively for next year. Same with the red light camera revenues. Those revenues peaked in 2013 at about $1.1 million, and for fiscal 15 they were down around $750,000. So that's been a decline source. And I think we budgeted $725,000 in fiscal 16 for that revenue. Good news, the absent sales tax revenues were very good. Garbage revenues were good. Civic Center did well this year. For our total revenues for the general fund, you see a negative variance there of $620,000. But one thing to keep in mind is we had planned on spending $1.3 million of fund balance. So there's no offsetting actual revenues for that. Take that out of the equation, and you get a positive of about $687,000. And the reason that is so good is we sold the property at Garfield Penn for $623,000. So that's a large chunk of that positive variance. Our expenditures overall, we had a total expenditures, we got a positive variance there of $463,000. If you take out the part for non-departmental there, just above that line, that would leave you a positive budget variance there of about $275,000. The Bottom line total is a decrease of about $145,000 in general fund balance. Not too bad when we had considered we have budgeted to spend $1.3 million of those reserves, largest of which would be $700,000 for the quiet zones, and there are some other items which is enumerated in your financial report. And we end the year with general fund reserves at about $12.2 million. Note which should keep us right around a little over 27% of expenditures. So that's pretty good. I call it a pretty good year. In the Community Redevelopment Agency, we have a we have a bottom line there of a positive $261,000. Nothing particularly remarkable there. The tax revenues increased based on increase in property value. So that's a good thing. Moving down to water and sewer, our revenues there came very close to our budget. Our total sales in terms of thousands of gallons, we had about a 13,000 thousands of gallons negative variance there. Total revenues had a positive variance of $581,000. We got a bottom line there of $1,150,000 of improvement. That's a good thing. We'll need to spend some of that in the upcoming years on our share of improvements at Iron Bridge Wastewater Treatment Plant owned by City of Orlando, and also on expanding our plans to expand the reclaimed water system. So we're building some good reserves in water and sewer, and we have plans to use some of them. In electric, we have came very close to our forecasted revenues in kilowatt hour sales. We over-recovered in fuel by about $1,050,000. As you may recall, this past January, we increased our targeted range for where we want our fuel cost stabilization fund to be. We targeted the upper end at 10% of our fuel forecast, which increased the top end of the range from $900,000 to $1.7 million. And we're a little bit over $1.7 million at September 30, and we reduced our fuel cost recovery factor in November 1, I think. Bottom line is a negative $1,539,000. There's really three key factors there. One is overspending of capital, which we've ratcheted back. The over-recovery of fuel cost revenue. And the third factor was, the money for the warehouse. The new warehouse that's currently under construction. That's $1,050,000. Taken out right there, and that was a planned use of electric money there. So overall, not a bad year there either, and a very strong debt service coverage at 2.69. So that's very good. Lastly, in your financial report, you have the summary of the investments that the city was holding at September 30. And all were in compliance with our investment policy. Got a grand total there of about $54 million, average return of 1.36%, and average duration of 5.64 years. Working on bringing that down a little bit. Those are the highlights of the financial report.
Bring down the years, not the percentage, right?
Correct.
I'm not sure if you're doing much lower.
That's right.
Given the restrictions. Great. Any questions for Wes?
Is the $115,000 that was allocated for the visioning process, was that already in our plan? It's not additional money. It's what we already had planned for that whole process?
It's part of the 1307 that we plan to take from fund balance. It's not a total that we had planned to spend on visioning.
That's what I'm really asking. Is that part of what we had planned to spend on visioning, or is it additional money?
This
It's part of the original budget provisioning.
Okay, that's what I was trying to ask.
It's not the total, and I can't remember what the total was.
$250 or something.
Something like that.
Well, I have a question. The 5.58% decrease in property values outside of the CRA, where do you see that amongst other communities in Orange County? Have you guys done a comparison?
Not really. You know, see articles in the paper. A lot of times the Sentinel does an article, and we look pretty favorable compared to others.
Pretty favorable that our property taxes, that the percentage
values have gone up by, you know, we're on the upper end of the increase in comparison to other communities.
But you know, Kit, would you mind taking a peek at that and see where we stand with that? I've had, obviously, it's a good thing that our property values are increasing. It's also a little bit of a penalty on the taxing front.
Well, but you keep in mind the Silver Homes is keeping that from happening to the people who are living in their existing home.
That's true.
It's only when properties change hands do they adjust for that new market value.
And there have been a lot of properties changing hands.
Yes, sir.
And our monthly, our turn is pretty quick.
What does that mean?
The time of the market for homes has really shifted downward, which is a good thing for property sellers. Any other questions for Wes?
No, sir.
No? Great, Wes, thank you so much. Hey, folks, we'll take citizen comments close to the 5 o'clock hour. We will move on to the consent agenda.
I'd move for approval.
I'd like to ask a question about 9B1.
Well, can I get I'll second that to Commissioner McMacken. And Commissioner Sprinkle, would you like to pull 9B1?
I'd like to pull it for a question.
Okay, so let's pull 9B1. Commissioner McMacken, can that be incorporated?
Yes.
I'd like to pull
it. You'd like to pull the minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, so Commissioner McMacken, I'm going to pull you. I'm going to rescind my second and ask you to rescind your motion
until we get these taken care of. That'd be fine.
Thank you. Commissioner Seidel, are you okay there?
I'm not pulling.
Then I'm going to ask that we approve the agenda. I'm going to move to the approval of the agenda with 9A and 9B1 pulled. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. We'll open the floor to public comment. Anybody wishing to speak to the commission on these items, please step forward. Seeing none, we'll close the floor. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Great. Commissioner Sprinkle, 9B1.
9B1 pertains to vehicles, and so it's two more bucket trucks or two whatever vehicle replacement funds. It's about $240,000. And as you know, I've asked many questions about the vehicle replacement fund and the number of vehicles the city owns. And I guess what I'm looking for here is not to try to stop using this money here, but to know what the plan is moving forward so that I have an idea that I don't like to see new city vehicles. You know how I feel about that. And so I know that there's a plan. I just don't know what it is. So I'm asking for, and I guess I can just get it from you, but I'd like for all of us to understand what we do in the name of the vehicles that we own as a city and what we're planning for the future with vehicle replacement. Having said that, I'll be happy to move it and then hopefully set up a time to get that kind of information.
I will second that motion, Commissioner, but Peter Moore stepped forward with a brand new slick back haircut, so I figured I'd give him an opportunity to address the item. If Peter, do you have any comment on the vehicle? I know this is falling in line with what was budgeted for the year, correct?
Well, yes. Okay. We budget about $1.6 million a year for vehicle replacement. It's based on estimating the life of our fleet and when we need to replace them. These specific trucks have about a 10-year life on them. We've run our electric utility for just over 10 years. So they're starting to feel the wear and tear. So we're actually replacing two existing ones. So those will be sold, and then we'll salvage, and then we will purchase the other two. So we're not going to actually increase the fleet count.
Okay. Great.
But that's not what I really want to know.
We have a plan.
I just wanted more detail.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I'm happy with you, Commissioner. We can go over it.
Great. We'll open the floor to public comment on this item. Anybody wishing to address the commission on item 9B1? Step forward. Seeing none, we'll close the floor. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Fantastic. And Commissioner Cooper, item 9A.
It's on page 26. It's our discussion and our record on your historic preservation ordinance. And that particular ordinance has been so difficult for the community that I want to make sure that we leave a very complete picture in the minutes. And as I look through here, and unfortunately Dory is not here, but the most important item was on page 10 of 11, where it talks about the information that the city staff presented.
On the minutes themselves.
And what it says is Planning Director Doris Stone spoke about the public notice already provided through the process, and that's all it says. And if you didn't know what was going on and you read our particular minutes, it kind of says, well, Seidel thought it was a balance, but we really needed to do more. Carolyn wasn't 100% satisfied with it. It expressed Commissioner Sprinkle's objections to it, and it never recorded all of the things that the staff explained they had done to ensure we had plenty of public input. It didn't talk about all those things that Dory explained. And I'm particularly sensitive to this right now because I can see this on a flyer, city minutes, and basically if you read these minutes, you would think all of us up here were dissatisfied with the historic preservation ordinance and that staff hadn't done very much to notify the public. And so all I'm asking is that, not that you say anything I would like to say here, but simply that we allow a tabling of the minutes until the city clerk has an opportunity to present a more thorough representation of the city's efforts relative to historic preservation.
Commissioner, these are representative minutes. I don't even see where you're pointing to.
That's right.
Could you please help me?
Sure.
That is
what Dory spoke about, right? And she did. And there were a lot of good information that she gave us about the efforts that were made to...
But that's not any difference in what we currently see in the minutes.
The request is to expand on...
Just whatever is in the... Whatever Dory actually said, I just wanted to represent to the community that, number one, the city did do their due diligence in trying to bring that forward to the public, and that... That's it. I just don't want it to sound like we all were dissatisfied with it.
But there were, you know, some people that were in historic houses. I noticed it right before a meeting, and that's not listed in here either. So it's how much they went in there.
I just want to make sure that it shows. If I could see this particular paragraph on a mirror, Greg, and quite frankly,
this paragraph is where I'm going because right. There were some communication breakdowns here and there. It wasn't perfect.
Sure, Commissioner McMahon.
If I recall in the past when we've had discussions about what was actually said, we've actually requested that what was actually said by an individual be put in there. And Dory's presentation is what was actually said. I mean, we've just...
Listen, I don't have a problem.
I mean, just amend the minutes to include that. And,
I don't have a problem. Well,
you know, whatever it might be.
Commissioner Cooper made a motion to table. Is that an official motion to table?
It's a motion to table the minutes and allow staff to go back and give a more thorough representation.
Okay, we'll take a second. We'll look for a second on that motion to table.
Well, I'll second just for discussion purposes.
Okay.
But
let's continue to discuss before we call the two votes.
Mr. Mayor, back to my point, I think in the past, whether there's been questions about the body of the minutes, and we've had this back and forth a couple of times. We've generally just gone back and said, would you include that individual's comments, you know, just as an amendment to these minutes, and that's kind of what we've done. I don't know if we have to go back and necessarily rewrite.
If you're looking for a bit more detail in there, I'm okay with that. I just don't want, I mean...
No, I don't want to worry.
The staff presentation, not the entire presentation.
I mean, Dory, if you need another sentence in there that says, Dory spoke about the five meetings we've had or something to that, is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, I just like it to represent that the city has done a reasonable job through the process, and this doesn't do that.
But let's keep in mind, though, and I think we need to keep the election out of this, and you were the one that raised this as a campaign issue, and I'd like to keep that out of any discussions we have at the dais here.
Well, that's fine.
I don't think we should be looking at things for that reason.
I appreciate that. But what I will say is that, the public information is not here. If you read these minutes, you'd come away thinking we all kind of thought it was not the best idea, and it doesn't say anything that the staff presented, and I think that's pretty important.
That's all.
That's your take on it, Commissioner. I did not draw that conclusion and go into that depth on it, but I understand, given your comment about the election coming up, how you could feel that that could be used. We have a motion to table on that. I think a sentence can be added that would clarify. I'm hopeful of that. So
I could withdraw my motion and make a motion that we ask the city clerk to go back and just reflect the staff's discussion that was during this particular meeting, if that would be better.
And I'm okay, Cindy, as long as, and Randy, again, I don't want this to go. This is again, getting a little bit, we're in the weeds on this stuff. If you want to add one sentence or so, Cindy, to clarify that, if that's all you're asking for, Commissioner, I can support that.
I'm asking for a representation of staff's presentation to us.
Is that different than what I'm saying?
It might be. I don't know that it's one sentence. It might be three.
I'm not asking for verbatim of what Dory said during the
meeting. No, I'm not. I'm not asking for verbatim.
Somewhere between the two of those.
Somewhere between the sentence and verbatim, there's some nice ground that shows that the city made a reasonable effort.
I would move that with that.
I would be happy to. Thank you.
We have a motion. I will second that. We'll open the floor for public comment on this item. Seeing none, we'll close the floor. Are you ready to vote? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mayor.
I didn't say anything because I think it's ridiculous, and I will say that I just think we don't like the message, because the message simply says the citywide notice had not been done, and I think that that's where all this is coming from, and I think it's silly that we're doing this. I'm sorry. That's it.
Commissioner, I don't disagree with that, but in order to move this meeting forward, people have their way to address what I think are serious issues in the city with water. I agree.
I'll vote yes, and let's get on with the business.
Thank you, ma'am. Great. Let the record reflect as a 5-0 vote. Thank you. Let's move.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
Was that motion, just so that I'm clear, that motion was to approve the minutes with item 9A with those adjustments. Just perfect. I didn't think we needed another one, so thank you.
Let's move to item 11B. We will skip item 11.
I don't think we did the whole consent agenda, did we?
Yes,
we
did.
Consent agenda is approved.
No.
I thought you just did it.
Yes, we did.
No, we did.
Mr. Mayor, you motioned for the rest of it. Yes, you did.
Okay. So let's move. There's no action items under item 10. We have 11A that is tabled until at least the 5 o'clock hour. We have to hold that after 5. And so we'll move to 11B. I believe this is you, Mr. Ordman, yes?
Yes, sir. Ordinance number blank - 15, an ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, vacating and abandoning the utility easements located at 110 South Orlando Avenue, Winter Park, Florida, providing an effective date.
Wonderful.
I move for approval.
Second.
All right, we have a motion to second. Any further discussion? This is on second reading, folks. Seeing no more questions from the commission, I will open the floor to public comment. Anybody wish to address the commission on this item? Seeing none, we'll close the floor. If you're ready to vote. Craig, Cindy, would you please read the roll, skipping Mr. Ardman down there at the end.
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Lear?
Yes. Thank you. Mr. Ardman, I think you're also on 11B. 11C.
Yes, sir. Resolution number blank, the resolution of the City Commission of the City of Winter Park, Florida, to provide a mechanism for the financing of energy conservation and efficiency improvements, renewable energy improvements, and wind resistance improvements, authorizing the execution of a non-exclusive interlocal subscription agreement with the Florida PACE Funding Agency for an initial term of 3 years ending September 30, 2018, pursuant to which the Florida PACE Funding Agency will administer a financing program for such improvements within the municipal boundaries of the city, authorizing and directing city officials, officers, employees, and agents to take such actions as may be necessary or desirable in furtherance of the purposes of this resolution, providing for conflicts, providing for severability, and providing an effective date.
Great. Randy, will you be handling this, or Chris?
Chris is here if you have any questions. You had the presentation at the last meeting, so if you have questions.
I just wanted to get a recap. It's been a month and a half since we met. Chris, would you mind just stepping up and kind of giving us a recap of where we are?
Yeah, that's why I was kind of calling, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
So just a brief recap. PACE funding was something that was part of our initial sustainability action plan. The Florida PACE agency came to the Keep Winter Park Beautiful and Sustainability Board about a year ago with their program. There are multiple PACE vendors, and we just decided to move forward at this time with working with the Florida PACE agency, as it is a a governmental agency, if you will. And so we're moving forward with that. It was approved unanimously by our board to move it forward for approval. Therefore, we came in November with a presentation on what PACE is and how it operates. Due to some timing, it seemed to be appropriate to move forward at this time, and so therefore we'd like to move forward with the interlocal. If you have any questions about the program, Jonathan Schaefer is here as well, and he can answer any of those.
Okay, Mr. Schaefer is who presented to us last night.
That is correct.
Great, thank you.
Commissioner, thank you. Chris, I just to refresh my memory again, entering into this agreement with the Florida PACE doesn't prevent us from entering into other agreements.
It's a non-exclusive.
Actually, yeah, that was my recollection.
Correct.
So as I read through here, I just wanted to clarify
right.
that.
And there are questions regarding our liability, Commissioner, or Commissioner down there. I told you, it gets
me. Sure, I'll do it to you.
You're comfortable with the
yes,
city's liability?
With it.
That's what Remember, any other questions, Commissioner?
I'd just like to move it.
Okay.
No, I'll second that.
Yeah, I had a quick question.
Mr. Seidel, question. We have a motion on the table to approve, and we have a second. Cindy, did you get that?
Yes,
thank you. Commissioner Seidel.
That's how we're name tags.
That's why it's just water in here.
I know you're in a hurry to go home and see the Bucknell Lehigh basketball game at 7:30, so I can understand this.
That's the one.
Just that if we're doing this for 3 years, but the agreements they make with the properties can be up to like 30 years. Is there any issue with that? We're only inviting them to be here for 3 years, but those contracts that are signed and done would still be applicable through whatever time frame they're signed and done, correct?
That is true. Based upon the funding mechanism, Jonathan, do you have anything you want to add to that in regards to
individual contracts can outlive the contract with the city, correct?
Yes, sir. Jonathan Schaefer, 1000 Legion Place, Suite 1100, Orlando, Florida. Program manager for the Florida PACE Funding Agency. Yes, the contract is for 3 years, and so at such a time, if the commission so chose to end the contract, we would not continue to offer the program to would-be participants thereafter, but we would continue to follow through with the repayment process. They would continue to repay until that debt was repaid fully.
Right. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. That's all.
Any other questions for the applicant or staff?
No, sir.
Nope. Great. Seeing no more questions, we'll open up the floor to public comment on item 11C. We'll close the floor. Are you all ready to vote?
Yes.
Great. Cindy, would you please read the roll?
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Thank you. We have resolution Mr. Arteman on 11D.
Yes, sir. Resolution number blank, a resolution of the City Commission of the City of Winter Park, Florida, designating the property located at 700 Oxford Road, Winter Park, Florida, as a historic resource on the Winter Park Register of Historic Places.
Great. Is there anybody that's going to handle this for staff?
It's pretty straightforward. I'd like to move it.
Okay.
Seconds.
Okay. Okay. Any questions for staff? None. Is the applicant here, Jeff? No. Great. We'll open the floor to public comment. Anybody wanting to address the commission on item 11D, the resolution supporting the historic register application for 700 Oxford Road. We'll close the floor. Cindy, would you please read the roll?
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Absolutely. Yes.
Commissioner McNaghan?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Thank you. Now, Mr. Arteman, 11E, raises the designation of 901 Georgia Ave.
Yes, sir. Resolution number blank, a resolution of the City Commission of the City of Winter Park, Florida, designating the property located at 901 Georgia Avenue, Winter Park, Florida, as a historic landmark on the Winter Park Register of Historic Places.
I'm going to move that one as well, Mr. Mayor.
Second.
Okay. Any questions for staff or the applicant? I don't see the applicant here. Okay, we'll open the floor to public comment on 11E, 901 Georgia Avenue. Seeing none, we will close the floor. This is great to see two homes come in front of us. I think wildly different homes, actually, mm-hmm. by the appearance. I'm surprised the second one. I think it's a unique home, but I was surprised that it was up for designation, to be quite honest.
Which one, this one?
Yeah, I think it's pretty awesome. I don't know. There's something when I looked at the first one, I said, yep, that's historic. I see it all the time, and I see it on the lake, and I think of it as
this one actually might be older.
It might be older.
Yeah. Is Leslie?
That's what I mean. Some of these things just pop up on you. Okay. Cindy, would you please read the roll?
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McNaughton?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Thank you. Let's move to City Commission reports, and then what we can do is we can double back on the public comment. Commissioner Seidel, any reports?
Yeah, I just wanted to discuss the, I mean, you forwarded the email to everybody, right, about the Kmart Plaza?
No.
Well,
I'll answer that for him, no.
Okay. You know, somebody didn't receive it and read it. That's what it was.
I didn't receive it.
Okay. I don't recall receiving it.
No. Yeah, but essentially what I wanted to talk about was the Webster Avenue extension through that plaza, and I have met with Jeff, and I met with Randy. And I'd like to make it a viable opportunity for the developer as well as the city. That in the future, Dan Bellows is, and the Rabidage development is supposed to realign to put that signal in there. Mm-hmm. And so just wanted to let see if there's support here to try and move forward with that. Or we did approve the development, and we've approved it as it is. And so I'm kind of post after the fact trying to get something carried out, whether it's through negotiations or there's another way to do it. But just that, is that something that we as a city are interested in doing, and is the commission interested in doing? I mean, that's
Greg, I don't know how we could go back now and say,
well, we can't.
No, you technically could, but how you go back and say, yeah, we'd like to purchase right of way through the middle of your building to extend Webster through there. I mean, I greatly appreciate the connectivity that you're looking for, but that...
Right. Well, is there any kind of public interest test with the development that we'd be willing to give up something to gain something? And that's what I, and if the developer wants nothing to do with it, then, and we have no legal way to enforce it, we are where we are. But if it's something where there may be some incentive that we can incentivize him to provide this for us, and that, the access to his property in I-4 gets much easier. And right. So that's where it's yes, we're not in the negotiation position we were before the vote, but is there still something that can be negotiated to get it worked out? And that's all. That's where I'm coming from with it. I'm not trying to force anyone's hand, but is there something that would benefit both of us? And can that be worked out by staff and come back and say, hey, this is something we can do. Here's either A, it's going to cost us some money, or B, maybe we give up parking spaces or something, or give them some incentive to do it that makes sense. And that's all.
Greg, from my perspective, I would be very happy to hear first from our transportation people, is what we are considering here truly going to be a big benefit? Because anything that helps with traffic congestion in that intersection is positive, but the question is how much so? And then the next question is from staff, what are our options? So from my perspective, I'm happy to allow staff to open that conversation for us. And I'm okay with that. I wouldn't want to make any decision here without understanding exactly the traffic impact, exactly the cost, and the willingness.
Agreed.
But I would be happy to support you in asking staff to do that, have that conversation. But I think you need one more.
Okay, so here is the way I think about that project. It's sort of like what we just had come in front of us with Rollins and what's going on with the property over there and maybe making a turn lane. I rely greatly on what our staff gives us for the plans for the future and for us after the fact to come back and say we should have done this. I don't agree with. I think we have to think now about what we want to do part of the reason we're visioning and putting $250 million in that is for that visioning process. Part of that visioning is transportation and is the traffic plan. So I've never known whether or not Webster should go through there. I never thought it was a possibility. So for me to consider it is not even on my plate because it's never been brought to me by anybody. The reason I can consider what's starting to happen with the property that Rollins owns is we've been talking about a turning lane. So I do think we need, you know, we talk about moving forward with workshop kinds of things. If we have an issue about how this traffic pattern's going to work, and I know that's your big issue, I want to put it all together and do it all together so that we're not piecemealing, because I don't think we, first of all, we have a chance of even going back and saying to the people at the Kmart that we want to do this, because we don't own it and we don't have any plans to buy it, so how could we do that? So I feel like it's too little too late, and I don't know if it's too late. I don't know what the plan was. I don't know that there was ever a plan to go through with that. So that's why it doesn't make sense to me right now. I need a picture of what we want it to look like.
And I do have a picture that he asked that I forward to you on. I apparently dropped the ball on that, but I can put it up on the screen just so you can see what he was intended for you to say.
Commissioner, did you have any comment on that?
Patrick, if you could. I'm not on the page to go back and ask for something that, you know, Greg, number one, we don't have funding for, we don't have traffic studies for, we don't have, I mean, my guess would be is having purchased that property and gotten their permits, that group is going to be wanting to move forward. And the process we're talking about could be years to get approved, moved, designed, and gone through there. And that hasn't been on anybody's traffic master plan that I'm aware of for the city. To say we're going to go through and take a 50, 60 foot right away through the center of the Kmart building, even to go back and, right, and buy, barter, whatever it is, I can't give a nod yes on that one. I think that one is there's plenty of other traffic needs in the city that those dollars could address, and extending Webster through an existing building is not one that I want to. That's not high on my priority list. I'm just not on that page.
Essentially, there's two options, though. One would be to extend it straight through Executive, and the other would be to use where the landscape area is, where they're wanting to put a new building. You could simply have that as one of the exits from the parking lot and not extend Webster.
And that's so the third option.
And the third option is nothing.
That's right.
But then again, we're stuck with the traffic at the intersection. When I went to the meetings for this, there wasn't big studies that were planning what to do with the entire area.
And I guess that goes back to my point is that this is not just a road through a parking lot. This is a major effort, and nobody has addressed that. We're dealing with two DOT roads that would take years to get traffic studies done for and whatnot. And if this were rubbish and there was nothing there on the back 50, I'd say, yeah, let's take a look at it, because we're just pushing pencils around. But this is an existing development, and I'm just not there.
Commissioner Cooper.
The one point that I would like to bring up and I'd like us all to think about is, I hear Greg's frustration, and we have all had that frustration many times. The question that maybe you couldn't figure out how to intervene in the process at the right point to get those kinds of questions answered. And I don't know what the answer to that is. And it is a real issue. By the time it gets to us, often it is too late for real meaningful input without being a stumbling block in the planning. And I do think a lot of times we have very, very good ideas that we would like to discuss. And I don't know if that's absence of workshops. I'm not sure what it is. But I would love for us to kind of, as we go forward, think about our process of how things come to the commission and if there is a way. Because I certainly would agree
that there were big transportation issues that it would have been nice for us to be able to bat around and talk about and hear from Troy about and really see. So for me, it's a process issue. I would love to be able to support this, Greg, and if it's too late, then the question is, how do we make sure it's not too late next time? And that's...
And here's where I am with this. This is not the role of this body. This body is a policy-setting organization. We don't wait till things get through staff and through the public process. The time to get involved and raise these questions is during the public process. And if you're interested in something like this, you can go to PNZ meetings. Hold up, there's plenty of meetings to go and get involved and have your voices be heard on this. That is not the role of this commission, to sit here and act as planners when it comes to forests. That's just not our role. And if you see that, then we have a much bigger issue. It's a policy-setting organization. The time to get involved to discuss possibly reorganizing and reconfiguring a private property on this property is way before this.
And that's my thought. As a policy-setting board, are there ways that we could improve the process?
So the process is set up for you to get involved at the PNZ level. This has gone through, Jeff, how many meetings did this? This was at least two PNZ meetings, yes? One? So there's an opportunity, and that's it. I mean, that was the opportunity. So I'm not supportive. Commissioner, I understand your perspective, and I appreciate it. I would also say that during the last meeting we had at this commission, the applicant said he had no interest in considering this.
That was the applicant's attorney,
okay,
by the way. It wasn't the applicant. The applicant wasn't here.
You guys don't like listening to attorneys. I can't listen to attorneys.
Sorry, moving down to the other end. He keeps telling us what we can't do. You know?
I hate to send staff down.
There is, which I included in the email, so if Randy could forward that to you. If they don't have their DOT connection permit, if there's a big enough land use change, and that's defined, and that's the lawyers have to tell me what that is, and the traffic engineers have to testify to it. But if there is a big enough land use change, the DOT could require it as part of the driveway connection permit within that area. So that's the other element of it that I was looking at also, that it might not be our responsibility to do it. And there is a connection on that side if you go up and around. It's just not a direct connection. So.
Okay. Mr. Seidel, anything else?
I think that was my 10 minutes.
I think so. I think you're right on the money on
the 10. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Somebody tell me a little bit about what's going on with our State of the City luncheon on Friday.
I don't know what you mean, what's going on.
Are we invited?
Oh, yes, we have a table.
Did anybody tell me that yet? No.
How'd she find out about it?
Yeah, I know. I thought y'all were having it without me. And
they delivered this, my neighbor's mail.
I will tell you that we haven't heard it yet. Right. And so I needed to make sure that we were included.
And Sarah, what you had is there was actually an ad in the paper saying we all were going to speak. And so I called the city and said, wait a minute, not only would I...
That's what pays Steve.
But we fixed that. We fixed that right for us. So we took that away. We're not going to speak, and yes, we're invited.
If we have a city table, like we usually do...
I
thought Michelle Bernstein had sent that out to you, so I apologize.
Okay, well, I just assumed it and all that kind of stuff, but normally we get an actual invitation that gets into my calendar, and that one hasn't been there yet. So I'm glad we're included, and are we going to hear from you?
Yes.
I could just keep saying no and have Clarissa call me every day.
Yeah.
For an hour to the first couple days. Yes, you'll be hearing from me.
Okay, so I have one other question. With the visioning that's going on in the city right now with the Vision Winter Park, do we have any updates planned for that anytime soon? Back to us as a body, or what's going to happen with that? Are we waiting until the end of the visioning process?
We'd be glad to give you an interim update. We did not have one planned, but we'd certainly be glad to do that.
I'd kind of like to hear one just because I'm feeling like, okay, we're moving down this road. We just make sure we have more money in it, and I'd like to kind of see how it's going.
Sure. Can you get something
there, Brenda?
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, that's it. Thanks.
Mr.
Cooper. The historic preservation incentives that we talked about coming forward next, do we have a schedule for when you're thinking about that? I know you need to do some research.
Yes, it was going to the HPB to discuss on Wednesday morning, and they've asked me to come and talk about it, so I'll be at their meeting Wednesday talking about the incentives.
We've got numbers with that?
We have the same numbers that we put in the packet for y'all at the last meeting.
you know, that were just kind of generalizations. But, you know, they're going to try to flesh them out and talk about which one
so
makes sense.
So what comes to us, right. There will be some hard...
Well, as hard as you can get, because you don't know how many people would take advantage of it and that type of thing. So.
Randy, can I follow up on Commissioner Cooper's question there? Do we have... Has there been... Let me restate that. It would be interesting to get... I'd like to see some non-monetary incentives in there.
There are some.
Does it make sense to run that through...
planning and zoning.
Either P and Z or
bicycle and ped.
there's so many boards. The board that makes the adjustments for
board of adjustments.
The board of adjustments, right? Who gives variances? And now, what board am I thinking of?
Well,
it's a board of adjustments. I'm just looking to see what they see that's common that maybe come up before, not historic properties, but some of the properties that meet maybe some of the restrictions given the size of the lots, because maybe they have an idea of how you can incentivize some of these property owners with additional FAR or additional, you know, shorter setbacks or something. Because I don't think the Historic Preservation Board works in that field all day long. That's not really what they do.
Right. They certainly don't see as many as Board of Adjustments.
Yeah.
I mean, they do see the ones that are related to historic properties.
Right. But maybe, again, it's just a thought. Maybe the Board of Adjustments could think about it and provide a recommendation. I mean, if you need three nods to give them that direction, you have one from me. And again, it's just to come up with some ideas.
No, because, I mean, part of the original ordinance was that board's ability to grant variances and whatnot, and it'd be nice to, I think you're right, it'd be nice to know what are the most common ones brought forward, and that in and of itself might be a way to incentivize that. So,
okay.
I'm not looking around. There it is. Okay. Yeah. So.
Any a third nod on that? Great. Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Cooper, you still have the floor.
I was. It seemed like the board's celebrations. You know, we've talked about them for years. We put money in the budget last year, and we still haven't seen any acknowledgement of our boards. And is that a money issue, Randy?
Put money in the budget, as you said. So
I just didn't know if it was hard.
We'll bring something forward.
And I'm not trying to be difficult about that. I don't know why we haven't been able to execute that. If it just takes too much staff time, if it's just too expensive, I don't.
It does take a lot of staff time, but that's not, and it just would have been a front runner, back runner issue.
I understand task forces in that, correct? Too.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, I just like to celebrate the people that have been, as I would like to celebrate the homes that went on the historic register today. If we want to incentivize historic preservation, then we need to make it very cool to bring your home here. We hold wine and salmon receptions here to celebrate the art, and yet we've just brought two major pieces of property forward voluntarily, which is what we all
want.
Without
incentives.
Right. And so I'd love to see us celebrate those kinds of achievements also. And then the last issue was we talked about commercial impact fees for the use of our parks. The consultant, WRT, that came in 2013, that was one of the things that she brought up, is that our commercial development doesn't pay any sort of impact fees for the use of our parks. And it was a recommendation that we look at that. And I'm just hoping that maybe I could get two nods to take a look at that and see what other cities do if it makes sense for Winter Park. Maybe EDAB, if it's a bad idea, I want to hear about that too. But it seems like that's not something that's unusual. And if we can get help to increase our parkland, it's very, very expensive. And it would surely be nice, because I do think that green space is transformational for the city. And as the density, as we redevelop and things are larger, more green space is a very positive thing. And I would love to see us get some help in paying for that. I'd just like someone to evaluate.
Did we ever have it before?
No,
it's commercial residential.
Right.
I don't remember that as one of the recommendations, but if that was
it.
There,
was. I thought it was great.
Why don't we bring, there was a bunch of recommendations.
Oh, there were like 26 or something.
Yeah. Remember they were talking about whole PDs and.
They were talking about reducing our parkland's level of service. They were talking about. removing the parking garage.
I selected them on what they recommended, the recall about
what
they
recommended. Oh, no, 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 I remember them all.
And I'm having heartburn over commercial development impact fees, so, I mean, I don't know that so we're piecemeal this either. I can't imagine that our commercial folks really want to go down that path, so I don't know. I think we need to look at it in its whole entirety, not just pull out which one we want, look at all of them.
It wouldn't be bad to pull that one back up and just look at the 20, whatever, because I mean, there are like 26 recommendations.
Right, there were a lot. Yeah. Some good, some bad, some...
Just refresh our members kind of stuff.
You have a nod for me to at least refresh and recall Randy.
To Sarah's point of let's
see what WRT, it's been a while.
I can cite them for you if you want me to.
I'm sure that you're going to show us your expertise there, but I don't really want to hear it.
Well, there are a lot of good and a lot of bad. Some things are good apart and some things aren't, but I just thought that was worth looking at.
That changes too from time to time.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I think that's all I've got today. Thank you.
Commissioner Clay?
I know we're past the holidays, but I just wanted to reiterate, Mr. Mayor, your comments. I think... This city is never more beautiful than it is for that week or so around the holidays and the people that were here and so many people from out of town. So many, I saw more strollers, families and whatnot up and down the avenue this year than I think I've ever seen. And that's kind of what it's all about. And so much of that goes to staff. And you guys really, you know, y'all, I mean, everybody that was involved in that, whether it was just whatever part you played, it really showed. And I've heard a lot of comments from folks that said, they love being down here for the holidays, and that's really super. The only other thing I have, if you're totally bored out of your gourd at halftime of the Lehigh-Bucknell basketball game, you can turn the channel and watch the Clemson Tigers play this evening.
That's right.
The championship. So beyond that, that's all I have, sir.
Well, we have 14 minutes to kill. So
I was trying to talk for 14 minutes, couldn't do it.
And I will just re-mention what I mentioned at the beginning. For those of you that were unable to attend as soon as we opened this meeting, we have a young man in our community who was a senior in college, or senior in high school, who just had a scholarship to go play lacrosse at Mercer College, and he had an unfortunate incident, and he's going through some serious medical treatments. Many of you probably know the Knight family, Mick and Vicky, and their son John Michael. So if you'd like to, and if you think about it, the name of the organization is caringbridge.org, and if you just search John Michael's name on there, you can contribute to his very serious and very extensive medical needs. So, and
while you're there, check out your whole city, because there are other people in the city that are on Caring Bridge, and you will be surprised at how you know them or don't know them. So it's an interesting thing to see. It's a very nice organization to keep us centered.
That's true. With that, Randy, can I take public comment now, or I have to wait till 5?
You do not have to wait till 5 to take public comment.
Even it says that we can wait till the end of the meeting, but we're not at the end of the meeting yet. We still have one other item.
It's your policy.
I'll tell you what we will do is we'll take public comment now, then we'll deal with the Rollins issue, and after the Rollins issue, we'll reopen for public comment if you all would like, if that's okay. And then we will hopefully proceed. Anyone wishing to address the commission with anything that's not on the agenda, please, now is your turn, now is your time. Seeing that, we're going to close the floor to public comment again. We will reopen it again once we deal with item 11A. We will take a short recess of 12 minutes, and we'll be back here at 5 o'clock to deal with item 11A as we are required to do at 5 o'clock. Thank you all. Okay, Jeff, we have a second reading of the ordinance. I'm sorry, Kurt, would you please read the description?
We have two, Mr. Mayor, we have two items to do here. We also have
a conditional use.
We have a conditional use. So yeah.
We can do these both at the same time, or do we have to?
I don't know if we can do a conditional use with it. We can't really have simultaneous public reading.
Yes,
you with a conditional use? Mm-hmm. Great. If you would do that for us, Mr. Hardeman, that would be fantastic.
Yes, sir. Ordinance number blank and ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, amending Chapter 58, Land Development Code, Article 1, Rule 3, Zoning Regulations, Section 58-67, Low Density Residential R-2 District, so as to add a new conditional use for child care centers, subject to certain limitations, providing for codification, conflict, severability, and effective date.
Thank you.
Sorry that we had to wait, but Chapter 166 says when you're changing the list of permitted or conditional uses, you have to hold at least one hearing by the City Commission after 5 o'clock. So it's 5:01. That's why we had to wait. Second reading of adding into the list of conditional uses for R2, what you approved on first reading, to have child care centers be allowed as a conditional use subject to certain limitations, and obviously the same procedure of P&Z and City Commission review, public hearing notice, etc. The second piece on your agenda is the actual conditional use, which now we can vote on once we've gone through the second reading. What's important about that, other than the positive recommendation from P&Z, is that it comes to you with a development agreement. Development agreement then has to be part of your motion to incorporate that. And the development agreement incorporates the conditions that were recommended by planning and zoning, but more, or just as importantly, the conditions that were negotiated with the adjacent neighborhood association. So there was concurrence at P&Z that all of those conditions address the present and future concerns about the use of the property. And so, again, you have a positive recommendation from P&Z.
Great, thank you. Christian?
Would you like to make a motion, or would you like to do more? I'm going to first move for the on the second reading of the zoning change.
Okay. I'll second.
And I'd also like to move the conditional use that is that also contains the materials that were outlined in the development agreement.
Second.
Okay. Commission discussion. Okay. We'll open up the floor to public comment. Anybody wish to address the commission on this item, please step forward. Seeing none. Anything from the applicant? Ms. Wilson? Fantastic. Are you all ready to vote? We're sorry we had to make you all wait for this short a time period.
Hey, they made us wait. Is there an item?
Okay, Cindy, would you please read the roll on the zoning change?
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Larry?
Yes, and now on the conditional use, please, incorporating all the discussion points that Jeff had mentioned, including the developer's agreement that's incorporated within.
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Thank you. Nice work, folks. And yes. I will just reopen the floor to public comment. Anybody wishing to address the commission on anything that was on the agenda this evening, please step forward. Seeing none, we are adjourned. You all have a great night. Thanks so much.